Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, your glory is so evident and so magnificent that the very rocks cry out in praise. Surely we who are your people can do a bit better than that. Our prayer this morning as we gather for worship is that everything that we do in our lives, in our relationships, will be an act of praise that glorifies your name and gives a glimpse of your love to a world that needs it so very much. Would you guide us, Lord, as we worship by your Spirit? And these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We who live by the Spirit also live by faith. And that's a different way of living. The world in general seems to think it's quite silly. But we who live in the Spirit are guided by that faith. It moves us, it directs us. The writer of Hebrews speaks to that in chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. And this is what it says. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. Faith, a different way of being.
Would you pray with me, please? And now, O God, as we begin a new chapter in this faith journey, may the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, ultimately the living out of our lives and dreams, be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are the one who moves our faith forward. Amen. The date was 1875. The place was the basement of the First Baptist Church of Lexington. The occasion was the organizational meeting for a new Baptist congregation in town. At first, this new congregation did not have a building. At first, this new congregation did not have a name. At first, this new congregation did not have a pastor. But from the first, that new congregation had a dream. That congregation had a dream that God was calling them to be an effective body of Jesus Christ congregation that would share the good news of Christ not only among its own members but with other partner organizations, people throughout Lexington and throughout the world. 39 people. January 27th, 1875, dared to dream a dream. Eventually, a building was purchased. Eventually, the church got a name, got four names before it became Calvary, as a matter of fact. And eventually, the church got around to calling a pastor. As a result of the dream that was dreamed back in 1875, ladies and gentlemen, you and I are here today. We are here today because people before us have felt the movement of God's Spirit that would show that a church, a Baptist church, even in a different way, could work together congregationally to make a difference for the cause of Jesus Christ. Do you have any dreams today? Oh, I hope so. I really hope so. Dreams are important to us as individuals. Dreams are important to us as families. Dreams are important to us organizationally, vocationally, professionally, recreationally. I want to have another NCAA basketball championship, don't you? All kinds of dreams. But for just a few moments this morning, I want us to focus upon our dreams as a church. And the reason I want us to do this is because God calls us to be the best possible church on mission for His Son Jesus Christ as we can possibly be. So let's talk about why dreams are so important to God's people. First of all, dreams are important because they give us our purpose for living. Dr. Robert Dale wrote a book, To Dream Again. And in that book about the church, he said it's oh so very, very important for churches to always be dreaming because dreams give us our purpose for living. Dreams give us a story to tell. Folks, we've got a purpose for being Calvary. We've got a story to tell. And what is this dream that gives us shape? What is this story that gives us direction? It is the dream story of a God who loved us to such an extent that He became one of us in the person of Jesus Christ, who in spite of our blunders, in spite of our mistakes, died for us, loved us, rose from the dead, that we might have the opportunity to have eternal life. And then He turned around and said, and you be the conveyors of this good news message to people all around the world. It's a kingdom dream. It's called the kingdom of God. It is mentioned more than 80 times in the New Testament. More than 80 times Jesus mentions this dream. When's the last time you dreamed it? And at the end of His earthly ministry, Jesus gave this task of kingdom dreaming to us. To us. Keep on dreaming the dream. Keep on telling the story. Dreams give us a direction in life. There are people, have you noticed, who just kind of coast through life, day to day, week to week, crisis to crisis, job to job, year to year. They're just kind of drifting, kind of floundering, no real purpose, but a dream. A dream will give us purpose, and a dream will give us direction. A dream can make all of the difference in the world. Later in a study, Robert Dale said that churches must always be open to dreaming again. Churches, he said, must be open to revitalization, or they will find themselves standing still, and to stand still is to die. You folks ever find yourself standing still? As an individual follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you any closer to the Lord today than when you were 9 or 10 or 15 years old or whenever it was that you made your public profession of faith? Are you standing still as a Christian? Is your Sunday school class standing still? You have more or less people than you had last year. When's the last time you had somebody in that class that wasn't a Christian? Is your class standing still? What about your ministry group, mission group? About your choir, standing still? Growing in your faith? If we're not careful, we will rely so heavily upon kingdom dreams, which were dreamed way back in 1875, that we won't open ourselves up to revitalization of what God's calling us to dream today. And throughout the years, Not just in 1875, but again and again and again, God has inspired Calvary Baptist Church to dream some kingdom dreams. And as a result of that, we stayed downtown and had a viable college ministry and said women are just as important to men for the purpose of ministry in leadership roles in churches. We've said that it's important to have a recreation outreach center where people of all socioeconomic classes can come and be ministered to and hear the good news gospel of Jesus Christ. We have said it's important for us to have a Mission Lexington where we're not just taking care of ourselves, as important that is, but that we're taking care of other people as well. Oh, we've dreamed a lot of dreams, and thank God that we have, but God's calling us to dream again. That's why we're partnering with the Center for Congregational Health. That's why I'm really, really excited. I hope you are about what's going to transpire here in the next 4 to 6 months, because if we have a dream of what God instills in us, it will make all the difference in the world. The black poet Langston Hughes said, "Hold fast to dreams, because if dreams die, life is a broken winged bird that cannot fly." And the writer of Proverbs expressed it like this: "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But where there are dreams, kingdom dreams, the people flourish and are able to become all that God has instilled in them to be. Dreams give us a purpose for living. It's time to dream again." There's a second reason why dreams are so important. Dreams help us to realize, recognize, develop, and utilize our potential. Go back and read sometimes the Joseph stories in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 37 through 50, excluding chapter 38. Wonderful story about Joseph. And the key verse there in Genesis chapter 37, 5 is, "Now Joseph had a dream." He was a dreamer. Helped him to develop his potential. Scripture tells us that Joseph was about 17 years old, about the age of our graduating high school seniors and some of the college freshmen. I preached about 125 of them just a few minutes ago. He was about that age. And before that, he had just kind of drifted along. He was his father's favorite son. He was just kind of chilling out. His folks had the wealth, means. He could do about whatever he wanted to do. He was just kind of there. But things changed for Joseph, because at around about age 17, 18, or 19, it dawned on him that there was more to life than just living on somebody else's accomplishments. And he started to dream a dream. And he talked about it a little too much at first. He had youthful enthusiasm. They kind of needed to, you know, kind of knock it back a little bit. But he said, "God's calling me to be a leader on an international scale, and maybe I can use some of my agriculture methodology and knowledge to help someday during a time of famine. And maybe because of what I've learned in dealing with brothers who didn't like me so much, maybe I'll be able to employ something called forgiveness." He dreamed a dream. His brothers thought he was crazy. They really did. He dreamed the dream anyway. As a result of that dream, though it took a long time for this to be accomplished, Joseph became the second most powerful person in all of Egypt. Joseph masterminded an agricultural policy that fed the world of his day during a time of famine. Joseph, even though his brothers had treated him horribly and sold him into slavery and told his father that he had been killed by a wild beast, all of that he forgave his brothers. Can you imagine that? Which not only was good for Joseph and his family, but which was a model for other people who needed to forgive their brothers and sisters and family members too. Anybody need to forgive any siblings out there this morning? Sometimes the gospel and the scriptures just get a little bit too personal, don't they? Joseph could have just kind of gone along, coasted along, and been a good shepherd of his father's sheep. But that would have been so sad, because he had the potential to be a prime minister. I'm amazed every Sunday morning when I stand before you people at how much potential God has entrusted in you. Knowledge and wisdom and educational background and financial resources, it's incredible how much potential is in this congregation. And if you choose individually, or we choose as a congregation, we can get along pretty well just kind of drifting, coasting, going along on the coattails of somebody else's dream. And we would still be known, I promise you, as a good church, even a healthy church, even a church that other people would say, man, I'd really like to be part of that congregation. But wouldn't that be sad, because God has instilled in you people, in this place, in this congregation, the opportunity to be a great church, not to draw attention to ourselves, but to do something significant for the kingdom of God. Wow. Potential. Clarence Jordan said, to go back to that paraphrase, Hebrews 11:1, faith is the turning of dreams into deeds, of potential into actuality, talk into action. We are a good church. And we have been since 1875, thank God. But there's potential here to be a great church. And dreams help us develop our potential. Dreams give us a reason for living. Dreams help us develop our potential. And finally this morning, dreams help us to overcome obstacles. It wasn't easy for Joseph, as he dreamed a dream, to see that dream fulfilled. His brothers did hate his guts. There was a lot of sibling rivalry. Talk about a dysfunctional family. That was Joseph's family. So there was that obstacle. And then there was a little obstacle that they sold him into slavery. I mean, you know, you don't have your freedom. That's pretty tough. I believe I might have given up the dream. What about you? And then there was Potiphar's wife. Things are going along really well, and there's always this temptation that comes along in the form of something that's so alluring and enticing. And even though Joseph did not succumb to the ploys of Potiphar's wife, she lied and said, he tried to seduce me, and he was thrown into prison, unjustly accused. I know some people that would have given up. To heck with the dream. And while he was in prison, do you remember the butcher and the baker, and I almost said the candlestick maker, but that's not in the scripture. It's kind of in another thing we had growing up. But they were there, and they had a dream, and Joseph interpreted the dream, and they said, hey, we're going to remember you, and they forgot about him. You ever had so-called friends forget about you? Have you, as a so-called friend, ever forgotten about somebody else? So there was that obstacle. And, you know, at this point, I'm ready to just cash it in. But he kept dreaming. Overcame obstacles. The world is glad that he did. There were a lot of obstacles back in 1875. People say, we don't need another Baptist church. Good gosh, we got one. We don't have enough money. Y'all ever hear about that? We don't have enough time. Nobody wants to come to a new church, especially a Baptist church that lets other non-Baptists into it and says women are just as important to men. You're crazy. They're not going to come to a church like that. All kinds of obstacles. But they dreamed a dream. I'm glad they did. Aren't you? The date? It's August 21st, 2011. The place is the sanctuary of the Calvary Baptist Church. The occasion is a service of worship of the living God. A lot of dreams have moved this old church since 1875. And in spite of obstacles that people, sometimes even church members, would throw in the church's way, the church not only survived, but thrived and made a difference in downtown Lexington. Got any dreams today of what God is calling you to do as an individual? Any dreams today for you and your family? Got any dreams, husbands and wives, about your marriage? Business people, about your business, your jobs? Calvary people, about your church? I hope that all of us in the next 4 to 6 months and beyond will dream a kingdom dream. Because kingdom dreams, they make all the difference in the world. Shall we pray? Thank you, God, for 39 people who way back in 1875 paid attention to your voice and the movement of your spirit, and dreamed a dream of what this church could, should, and would become. May we be dreamers too, O God, in the best sense of the word. May we listen and pray, and turn dreams into deeds. In the name and for the cause of Jesus, amen.